It's Tuesday the, what is the date today?
Oh, it's one of them.
Yeah, it's, is it the 31st?
It is the 31st.
It's the 31st of August, and, of August? It is August.
It is August, yeah. Yes, definitely
and,
August.
And, this is the Football Sack Podcast, the number one new and noteworthy podcast on iTunes.
Hells to the air.
And, we're here for our wrap-up show today, so let's get into it. It is the Football Sack Podcast. This is the review show of all the weekend's action. So we'll be kicking off right now with myself, Jack Quigley, and with me, as he always is, Christian Leyland. Welcome back, Christian.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It is great to be here. We've got A-League results to talk about, A-League news to talk about, a bit of Socceroos news, and a bit of correspondence, etc. We'll get through the show.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. Over the weekend, a bit of controversy in the A-League this weekend, wasn't there, with the diving and the penalty? There was more diving than Greg Louganis in the A-League on the weekend. We had a couple of penalty incidents, unfortunately. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Robbie Slater's stance on the A-League. What is it? Is it the match review panel? Is that what they're called?
The match review
panel,
yes.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen that yet, we'll talk about that. Well, first of all, let's just go straight into it. It's first match was Brisbane Roar, Wellington Phoenix on the Friday night. You were going to go up, you didn't end up going up.
No, my girls had to play. So
that's
stay back, yes.
And you missed the Roar victory.
I did. Hopefully the second of many, though.
Yes.
Roar didn't get to play like they wanted to. They had moments, like periods of dominance, but Wellington were quite in their face, didn't quite allow them to get the continuity that they would have liked to, but you can still see the superiority in the Roar's play.
And
paid on the spot.
Nice little finish.
Oh, it was.
By Costa Barbarouses as well.
Yeah, he had to after last week's little debacle.
Yeah.
He very much needed to. Although I'd like to put a shout out to Mitch Nichols for actually proving me right by being rubbish at football.
I did see a couple of clips of him being quite rubbish at football, actually. Yeah. He is a good footballer apart from the being rubbish at football part, because he does that a bit, doesn't
he? Yeah, no, he does. Yeah. He just seems to have no awareness of his teammates. He'll put a pass in open space straight to an opposition player. It's
yeah, because, yeah, I had a bit of time for him last year, but more and more I'm starting to notice how not good he is.
Anyway, look,
he's still young.
Yeah, hopefully. He's still young, yeah. And although I have been saying that for 3 years. So,
mate, Carlton Cole's 26 and we're still clinging to the he's still young bandwagon at West Ham.
It's kind of like Michael Johnson of Manchester City. He's supposed to be like the next Colin Bell, the next captain of England, but you know, he keeps getting injured every 6 months. And it's like, oh, he's still young. But he's not going to be young for another 2 years.
That was a good game. The Phoenix will be disappointed, I think, to walk away with nothing from that game.
They would have been confident with themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a pretty good run.
They'll fancy themselves to beat anyone, I would think.
Well, that's right. Well, it's their home ground. Home run is like 26 matches undefeated at Wellington or something like that.
And they got a 50% winning ratio on the road last season. So,
not as bad as everyone makes out.
Yeah. It's tough for them to travel. So, I genuinely think they are dark horses to be right up there.
Oh, I think so.
And to even win the league. If they get a home ground final in Wellington, you'll back them home.
Oh, almost every time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so, like, yeah, they beat everyone at home, and yeah, they gave Roar, who were a good side this year, a pretty good shake-up away from home. So, good on them, and I'm sure they'll be back with a vengeance.
Our second game was on Saturday afternoon, up in North Queensland, Townsville. The Fury, unfortunately, the crowds were up. That's not what I'm talking about, unfortunately. Just kind of went off on a little diversion here. So Franz Stracker's letter must have got through to a few. So, you know, it's always good if your crowd is up on last week, so let's hope that continues. But unfortunately, they couldn't get the job done. Went down 3-2 to a very determined Adelaide side.
Yes.
And Marcos Flores with a fantastic goal.
Oh, it was brilliant. He was just hounding the Fury defence all day, all night.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. The Fury actually scored the first goal, I think, and Adelaide came back with three straight. David Williams scored quite a cracker.
Yeah.
Well, good finish.
I wouldn't say cracker.
A good finish. Solid finish.
It was,
with tucked a few minutes away, to go. And they probably had a good chance to actually grab an equaliser, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah.
But I think this game showed just how critical Erik Okoto is to the Fury defence. Without them, they were in disarray.
Like, yeah.
Honestly, it could have been six goals. You know, it was like,
Yeah, I'm kind of racking my brain trying to think of how many clear-cut chances there are. Van Dijk had an excellent chance that he wasted, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, not so much clear-cut chances. It was just, you know, so many times, you know, it was only just the nick of a boot, which would divert a boot, the ball, a little bit away from Adelaide play, which just stopped them. You know, like, the Fury defence has been reasonably solid this year, but without their general in the middle, it was just all over the place.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying. That's what I'm getting
okay.
at.
Okay, fair enough. That Flores goal was great.
Oh, the Flores! Flores was brilliant. He had my double vote in the team of the week, and he was
wonderful goal, wonderful celebration as well. Ran to the one travelling Adelaide United fan in the stadium, took his wig off him, and started dancing around. Yeah, and then, good. If you notice, if you watch the footage, he takes the wig off, tries to give it back to him, but he drops it, and it kind of falls in no man's land in between the hoarding and where the fan can reach, so he couldn't get it. And he offered to go back, and the fan sort of waved him back to the field, said, "No, it's fine. I'll figure it out." later on. So if you're that fan, we want to know, did you ever get your wig back?
Yeah. Tell us.
info@thefootballsack.com or Twitter us @thefootballsack. That was the first.
And if you're not a fan, I hope you didn't get your wig back. So there you go. If you're not a listener.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. No, that's fair. A fair call. Yeah. we keep our friends close and we don't like our enemies.
No, that's it.
That was the second half, first half of the doubleheader on Saturday night. That was to the Sydney Football Stadium for a match that promised a lot, but a disappointing crowd, and in the end, pretty disappointing game, to be honest. The first 45 minutes of that game was up there with the worst 45 minutes of football I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, that's a huge goal.
It goes on a par with West Ham Blackburn 0-0 from last season. That is the worst game I've ever watched in my life, and anything that Bolton Wanderers have ever been involved in. But it was just shocking. Both teams knew that we don't need to press when we haven't got the ball. We've just got to wait 5 seconds and they'll give it back.
Yeah.
There was no tackles needed to be made in that first half. It was just pass, pass, lazy pass. Pass, long ball. Pass, lazy pass, pass, poor touch. It was a contest of who could be the worst. and they couldn't be split. They just could not be split in this contest of who was the worst. Of course, there was controversy, which we're going to talk about now, because Liam Reddy was sent off for a foul, in inverted commas, on the new man Perez for Central Coast Mariners, and who subsequently tucked away the penalty. Replay showed there was little, if any, contact. And Perez, first of all, Reddy's red card was rescinded, which is correct. Well done. And Perez was given a 2-match ban for diving. Great. That's good. I don't want divers in this league. I don't want divers in the sport. Mm-hmm. So that's great. 2 matches, maybe a little harsh.
I think it's a little harsh.
I think 1 game probably would have done. Mm-hmm. In the Perth Glory match that we will talk about, there was another incident like this where a person dived to win. It was Michael Baird. Threw himself to the ground, won a penalty. He's been given the same ban.
Same penalty.
Robbie Slater came out yesterday and has absolutely given the A-League match review panel a serve, and they've for suspending Perez. He says that it was the wrong thing to do, so he's condoning this cheating. He's come out and said that the A-League match review panel should hang their head in shame. Now, Robbie, this wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that Perez plays for the Central Coast Mariners, who are coached by your one and only friend in the world, Graham Arnold, would it?
Might have just a little bit to do with it.
Call me a conspiracy theorist, but I think Robbie's looking after his mates here.
Mm-hmm. Personally, when I first kind of heard the rulings, I thought, all right, a bit too harsh. I think maybe going a bit overboard, overreacting. But, yeah, I think after thinking about it, it will stand out divers. You know, if you're going to get slapped with a huge, like, let's face it, 2 weeks is a huge ban.
That's
a big ban. If you're going to get slapped with a 2 week ban, a big ban like that, you're not going to dive.
Yeah.
So at the start, I said, I don't really like that, but you know, I'm totally for it now.
Yeah.
Again, you know, as long as they're consistent. If they're going to do it now, they have to do it 10, 20 weeks into the season.
Exactly.
They have to do it in the semi-final if it happens.
Hopefully they keep doing it, because that will drive Robbie Slater insane. He'll get dragged away to some sort of asylum. We won't have to put up with him on television. He and Mark Bosnich on that Match Day Saturday program are such an embarrassment to Australia. If anyone from any other country watches that, I'm sorry, I apologise. We are not all like that.
Yeah, no. Go watch Soccer AM instead.
That is a great show.
It is. I watched it.
Oh, did you? You checked it out?
Yeah, I saw it.
What a great show. Mm. Yeah, terrific show. And they talk about the A-League on that as well, because they follow Robbie Fowler. Orlando.
Yeah, they have a whole segment to him. Yeah,
I'm an A-League celebrity. Get me out of here. Yeah. Terrific show. Please.
We'll receive our check from Soccer AM in the mail.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Sky Sports have got our email address. So to summarise, get Robbie Slater and Mark Bosnich off TV. Thank you.
Okay,
moving on.
Anyway, yeah, so 1-1 it finished?
Yes, in that game, error from the new Central Coast Mariners keeper who stepped in. We should also talk about poor old Danny Vukovic.
Yes.
Went to the Phoenix and, you know, he's going to sit on the bench for them for the season. And then the next day, Jess Van Straten does his knee and he's out for the season. He would have walked into that first choice spot back at the Mariners.
Who was commentating that match, Central Coast versus Sydney FC? Was it Robbie Slater? Because I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about the goalkeeper merry-go-round. I'm like, oh, here we go. We've talked about it. Everyone's talked about it. He's like, Danny Vukovic will probably be at the Central Coast Mariners soon, seeing he's on loan he's on loan from them to the Phoenix. I'm like, no, he's signed an actual professional contract with the Phoenix.
He's not connected in any way to the Mariners.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like Robbie Slater. No. I really don't. Anyway, this isn't the anti-Robbie Slater podcast.
That's on Thursday.
That'll be available on iTunes. That'll be available on iTunes under the Jack Quigley's Numerous Podcasts section. They're actually going to put in a new section for me. It'll be like comedy, sport, news and politics, Jack's podcast. Yeah, and you can just go in and just listen to my thoughts on the world. On tomorrow's show, I'll be discussing the election and what the hell's going on there. We've all just apparently decided to just turn the other way on that one and just pretend like it never happened.
Who won? You know what? We'll just keep it the same. It's all good.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anyway. Right. Okay, it's kind of like when you make a bet, so like heads or tails, and you toss the coin, the person says heads, and you catch it, and you look at it, and they say, what was it? And you go, that doesn't matter anyway. Put it in your pocket. That's kind of what this election feels like.
That's it, because in the end, the world is going to be the same no matter who
wins. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, what are we talking politics for?
Yeah. Politics for Muppets. Righto.
That's it.
Our next one is Gold Coast United hosting the Victory in front of, I think it was 200 people.
Was it? Well, we have the numbers.
Yeah. No,
somewhere.
No, that was a joke because there was bugger all people there.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I think there was about 3,500 people there.
So sorry, the politics was still in my mind, so I actually just closed my mind off to anything.
You just don't listen at all, and I don't blame you.
No. Okay, there was, I think it was about actually 2,000, I think you think of it.
Was it?
I think so.
It's either way, it's just really disappointing. And eventually they're going to lose that team up there. If they're not careful, the Gold Coast public, and 3,624, apparently. Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. They're going to lose the team, and you're just going to have to say tough luck. You didn't come out and support them while you had them.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't deserve them.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine. She's a teacher at the Gold Coast.
Yep.
She's a member. She was wearing a Gold Coast lanyard. Apparently, none of her friends actually knew who Gold Coast United were, and they live on the Gold Coast.
Goodness me.
But, you know, that's not the fault of the Gold Coast public, so say it's the club not getting out
there. Yes, that's right.
But the Gold Coast public really should be supporting the club anyway. You know, you got to get the numbers there if you want the top-level soccer football, association football in your area.
Because I'll bet you there are people sitting there on the Gold Coast who say, I'd go watch them, but it's going to be a small crowd, so I don't really want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And if everyone who has that attitude turned up to the game, they'd fill the stadium.
That's right.
And they'd have a great time.
It's good, though, because it's such a shame, though, also, because if the Gold Coast do end up going away, it's going to be such a downer for Queensland football, because a lot of people used to go from the Gold Coast to the Queensland Rule to watch them play.
Yeah.
And so when the Gold Coast came in, they kind of cut Queensland Rule support, not heaps, but by a substantial amount.
Yeah.
And I think, now because the Gold Coast have kind of gone a bit to the dogs, so to speak, they're just, those people who used to travel up to Queensland Rule just aren't travelling, aren't watching
any. They've just lose interest altogether. That's Robbie Cruise was the goal scorer for the 1-0 Melbourne Victory win. I didn't see any of that game, did you?
No. I was actually going to go up there and talk with Scott Condon, but I had my own game again. So
yes.
I can't wait another 3 or 4 weeks and I'll be sport free.
He travelled up from Melbourne, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a commitment, isn't it?
It's quite the away trip, yeah.
Mm.
Our final match of the round was down in Melbourne. It was the Hearts. They came oh so close to their first win.
How close can you get, really?
2-2 against the Glory. Last-minute penalty to Robbie Fowler, which was won in very dubious circumstances, as we said, with Michael Baird going down very, very easily. He's, of course, been sanctioned for that. I think Robbie Slater's probably fine with that because Michael Baird doesn't play for Graham Arnold's team.
Yeah, no, that's
so
cool.
So he's probably fine with that one. Very against anything.
He'd probably want pre-show's Perez's ban to actually go on to Michael Baird's.
It's a four-match ban. Yeah. That's suitable. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Carbon's emission trading scheme. It's just the match review panel trading scheme.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he just passes it on. Yeah. He also wants to take Sydney's goal off them and just give it to the Central Coast and put that down as a 2-0
win. Yeah. No, that works.
Which is reasonable. It makes sense. Good point, Robbie.
Good point. Well done.
Yeah.
It's funny. Out of the four goals, three of them were kind of, you could almost say not legit. Two penalties and one own goal. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
There you go.
I know, knew there was two penalties. I didn't know there was an own goal.
Yeah.
I've only seen the not foul on Baird. I haven't even seen the penalty that
Sibon
and Fowler scored.
Yeah, fair.
Good penalties?
Solid enough. They went in.
Yeah, they all count, don't they? Did you see Kevin Davies' penalty for Bolton on the weekend against Birmingham City?
I don't watch Bolton.
Well, neither do I normally, but they were the early games, so it's not like viewer's choice where you can flick over and watch something else. He just nonchalantly just jogged up to the ball and just sort of chipped/blasted it into the roof of the net. It was one of those ones that was still going up as it goes in and hits the roof of the net. And it just looks so good.
Well, that Birmingham would be spewing because they were 2-0 up.
Against 10 men.
Against 10 men.
Yeah.
Devastated.
Bolton having UC Yeskalainen in their goalkeeper sent off as well. For one of the better bitch slaps I've seen in the Premier League for a while.
It was nice, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was very nice. Very good open
hand. Nathan Brown-esque.
Yes, there was a bit of Nathan Brown about it. Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice little throwback there.
Yeah, that was a long time.
Was that about 5 years ago now?
Oh, it'd be about that. Yeah.
Right.
Continue. I was going to say, it's when Sean Timmons was still playing.
Haven't seen him for a while. We should have mentioned on the topic of Sydney FC that we still have our Sydney FC competition running.
We do.
So, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Well, obviously, the Sydney FC have a home game this weekend. Yep. So, if you want to win tickets to their next home game, go to our website, click on win, and fill in the form. We pretty much just tell us the prediction of the match. So if you think Sydney FC is going to win 2-1 with Bridge scoring, you write Sydney FC 2-1 with Bridge scoring. If you get it right, you get a chance to win the two quite good tickets on the halfway line to the next time match, and which should be very, very good. We've had three lucky winners so far.
Yep.
And
great prize, great comp.
That's right.
Can't
that's
lose. Right. Terrific. Let's talk. Have we wrapped up the A League?
Kind of. I was going to talk about Hart, but I can't remember what I was going to say about Hart. Oh, that's right. Alex Terra. He's very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I concur.
I concur. Anyway. Yes. All right. Continuing on.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That's
okay.
It.
That's good. That's fair enough. We'll talk Socceroos, Helga Osiek's first match in charge. We talked about how he's picked pretty much the same squad as the one that won't be young enough to play at the next World Cup, which is odd. I don't know why you don't just start building for the next tournament straight away. Why have a period of nothing games and not blooding youngsters or whatever? But
I guess he kind of wants to check what we have, because I'm sure They will be old enough to play in the Asian Cup. He probably is going to be aiming to win that.
Yeah.
He'll see what he has. He wants to talk to the players, see their feelings about when they want to retire, et cetera, and
Mind you, youth isn't looking too crash high. Our under-17s lost to England 4-0 last night.
4-0, yes. And, England's not exactly the most renowned for their youth football. That's not looking good.
Yes, anyway. Harry Kuehl, who else do we say was
Josh Kennedy?
Josh Kennedy
and Michael Beecham.
So there is a bit of silver lining there, knowing that Michael Beecham and his greased up slippy shoes won't be playing for the Socceroos. Josh Kennedy, who has since has recently had a haircut and shaved off his beard,
he's no longer Jesus.
And of course, I spoke to you about this before we turned on the microphones on Match Day Saturday on the weekend. They put up a picture of him being interviewed, and they said, "Try and guess who this is." And I thought, "Oh, this will be interesting." They put up the picture. I saw who it was, and he's wearing a Urawa red shirt. I thought it's either Matthew Sparanovic or Josh Kennedy. And I looked up, and it was Josh Kennedy. And I said, "Josh Kennedy." And then we had to sit there while painfully for 30 seconds. Robbie Slater and Mark Bosnich trying to figure out who the hell it was until they started dropping Jesus jokes. Yeah.
Anyway.
Experts, though, sir.
Yes, very much so. Just because you play doesn't make you very...
Exactly.
Most knowledgeable. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we're playing Poland, is that right?
Switzerland, I think. Yeah.
Then Poland, that's it.
So, yeah, two games.
So, interesting to see what Pete from Poland has to say about that.
Yeah, there's just two nothing games for me. I don't even think I'll get up and watch them live or watch the replays. And, I'm not excited in the least, which is a shame.
It is a bit like that, with the soccer games. So if you're not playing a qualifier or you're not playing in a tournament, it is a bit...
You need a reason to watch blooding youngsters or a new system or something like that. But I just have a feeling he's going to play the same players in the same system. It's going to be the same old rubbish that we've put up with for the last couple of years with Pimba Bake.
Mm. Yeah, the thing is, if he had just done the inclusion, if he had to put Tom Yor in the squad, that would have been reason enough to probably watch.
I think he is. I think he's called him up as one of the covers.
As Harry Kuehl's cover. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I might actually watch it now.
Yeah.
I think I'd still go and watch it just to see... As it's his first match in charge, just to see what happens.
I'll still watch it, but I'll record it so I can watch it
in the morning.
I'll watch it in the morning, and I'll also watch it on double speed, so it kind of it'll take me 45 minutes to put it through.
It's kind of funny. I remember when I first got the All-Star, all the Foxtels, the rest of Australia knows it, recording device. I recorded a Waratahs match at Rugby Union, and I watched the first half, and it was... dreadfully boring.
Yeah,
and I said, "That's it. I'll get on double speed. I'll just play it really fast."
Yeah,
until something exciting happens. The second half lasted 3 minutes. It was brilliant.
Really, just went straight through it. Nothing happened.
Nothing
worth
really
stopping
happened.
It for.
Yeah, it was like three penalties and a missed
I watched the Socceroos game recently against Slovenia in double time, and it's great. It looks really cool. Yeah. Just the first.
Just like watching Germany play.
Yeah, it is. It's like us looking like an other country that is good because we just knock it out. Little sort of even when we do our patented goalkeeper to centre back to right back to right midfielder, he looks up. There's no one in front of him. Turns around, right back, centre back, goalkeeper, punts it upfield. Looks good when it's goalkeeper, centre back, right back, right half, right half, ding, right ding, back, centre back, ding, goalkeeper, get upfield. Yeah, it's great. We should talk about. Let's talk some correspondence. We'll get through some people who've contacted the show and deserve a shout out. And one person who's contacted the show who deserves a special shout out is Blake Hampton.
He doesn't give up, does he?
No, the reason being that he's now top of the fantasy league
and
deserves a shout out. So, the other major news, of course, with the fantasy league is that you no longer have the weight of the table on your shoulders. The bottom.
I was on to my shoulder actually. Hurt.
Yeah.
I moved on about 10 places.
Wow.
And I still had two players who didn't play. I still had Michael Beecham on, which was ridiculous, and I had Okotu. So it's my own fault. But yeah. I've lifted up, and it's just a matter of time before I'm back down there again. I think.
Yeah, I would think so too. If you keep picking players who are injured and suspended, Blake also sent us a joke. About our Robbie Slater's unsubstantiated bombshells, and he said Robbie Slater or Blake Hampton has the Robbie Slater sauce.
He has the sauce.
Yeah, the sauce that he uses for all his news.
And well, this will ruin our segment.
He says, "Brace yourselves, it's Wikipedia." And he says in brackets, "Insert Mark Bosnich laugh," which I don't think I've quite got the energy to do.
You can do his new laugh instead.
Yeah. Email the show if you agree with me. Has Mark Bosnich changed his laugh?
Since
I really think that he has, because it used to be ha, it used to be that, and now it's some kind of gargling. I don't even know. It's that is him laughing.
It's like the really bad karaoke, which isn't even funny.
Yeah, yeah, but Kerry's funny.
I love Kerry. It's actually kind of funny. When you went to do the buzzer laugh, I actually leant away from the microphone because it's loud, but I forgot I had headphones on anyway.
Yeah, the sound doesn't come out of the microphone, you moron. It goes in. taking shelter below the desk wearing your headphones. It's unbelievable. I can still hear it from down here.
In my defense, I can all our listeners are listening to it on their iPhones and stuff. I can imagine them just bracing their shoulders while still having their headpieces in their ears. So I'm sure I'm not going to be the only one.
Okay. Let's hope not.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Unless they're just made of steel.
Mm.
let's talk about, we've still got people emailing the show with their first experience of the A-League, which is great. We love to hear from you. Carly Fly on Twitter said, my first A-League experience was 2005 preseason cup win over Newcastle Jets at Members Equity Stadium, amped after two NSL grand final wins and the long break.
Unfortunately, she had to wait 5 years after that for them to do any good.
Well, they still haven't.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah,
there's still
true,
just potential to do well this season. Matty G said, first
our,
A-League...
Our own Matty G.
Oh, this is our Matty G, is it? Righto. He said his first A-League experience was season two. He's in Twitter language, so I have to kind of decipher this as I'm reading. He wrote S2, and I had to figure out that that was season two.
Well,
yeah.
You're a clever one, Jack.
Yeah.
You're a clever one.
Yes. And then he writes, at Sydney FC. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the hash Sydney
FC. The hash Sydney FC, yeah.
I'm very Twittery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been tweeting a couple of times over the last few days.
Yeah.
Lifting my game.
On your own Twitter?
Yeah, on my own Twitter.
On your own
Twitter,
yeah. Wow.
Sydney FC versus Queensland Raw. It was a week after knee reco surgery, and I was on crutches.
Great story.
That's just riveting. Tell us more. Matt Collard said, Sydney versus Perth in season four. We got smashed, but I've been hooked on football since. Fantastic.
Loves it.
Yeah. Marvin. Is this our Marvin?
This is our Marvin.
Oh, there you go. Marvin the Martian said, Sydney FC versus Central Coast Mariners in season one grand final. Not the greatest game, but the crowd was awesome.
Yeah.
So your first A-League game was the grand final.
God, it all went downhill from there.
My best friend, first experience of the A-League was the Mariners-Jets grand final.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, very
so that's
nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And Sydney FC chick,
Christy Beck.
Christy Beck, that's it. Yes. Said round 21, season one, Sydney FC versus Adelaide. Sydney won 2-1 with Alvin Checkley scoring a cracker to win the game. I remember that game actually.
Mm.
That was a cracker.
It was
kind
it
of
was
fell to him outside the area, didn't it? And he just blasted it home. Yeah. I think.
Very nice. Yeah. No, I'm totally cool to go with that because I'm in agreement with you.
Christy, if we're wrong, get in touch with us.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
sure you will.
She will. Like,
she already
the
did. Yeah, she already did correcting us. The Jeremy Blocky apparently did play for Sydney FC whilst having dreadlocks.
And we now have a picture in our email to prove it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So thanks for that, Christy. wouldn't let it slip by. We'll quickly talk A-League Team of the Week well. Before we wrap things up.
A little bit of some weird selections.
This is like right up there with your fantasy team in terms of strange selections. Of course, it's voted for by everyone here on the SAC.
Yes.
We get a vote. We also have a system where we can elect one player to get two votes.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's personal player
right.
of the week gets two votes.
Yeah.
Which is why some of these strange selections have come in.
Yes, because apparently everyone here at the SAC voted for a different goalkeeper for Team of the Week. But Maddie put his as the double points. So Liam Reddy, despite being sent off, is the Team of the Week's goalkeeper.
Which is shame because both Petkovic and Clint Bolton both had quite
very good games.
Very good games. But yeah, so it's our... at the moment, we're 100% success rate with having a sent-off player in our Team of the Week.
Yes, doing well. We've got... we'll get more of that in a moment. Seb Ryle had a very good game for Sydney and deserves his place in the side. Luke Devere, clean sheet for Brisbane.
Hard to argue with the Queens.
Yep. Kevin Muscat got in there again.
He's in there for the first time.
That's right. Yeah, in there for the first time. Sorry, Shane Stefanuto got in there again.
Is what I
meant to say.
It's our first double appearance.
Yep. Marcos Flores is another debutant and deservedly so. Just
probably
for that
no
goal.
Surprise, yeah.
Yeah, just for that goal and that hat. Carlos Hernandez in the center of midfield. We've gone for a 4-3-3 too. I noticed on this rather than 4-4-2. Patricio Perez.
Yeah, a little bit of a... Well, he showed some flair when he was on. He managed to win a penalty and score.
Yeah. So, you know, he's in our Team of the Week, but I wouldn't put him in your fantasy team
no,
for the next couple. up front, we have Asaka Cernak. We have the A-League pronunciation guide here. I'm not going to trip over these names anymore because I can just flick through here. Who's he play for? Fury.
Fury, well done.
Russell Brands.
Fury
Russell
would
Coates.
Be under N for North Queensland.
Yes, okay, I didn't realise they were alphabetical, but thank you for clearing that up. It says Asaka Cernak, and its pronunciation says Cernak. It was his first name I was struggling with, but thanks, guys.
So they don't have a pronunciation for the first name?
No. No. We got sent the pronunciation guide for the Hyundai A-League players. And it says they're all sort of, it says their name, and then afterwards says it phonetically, how you would pronounce it. And it's just for, you know, Eric Okoto and then Eric Akoto. Give you an idea if you don't understand what I'm talking about. And then you go through and you get names like, you know, Michael Hughes, and it's Michael Hughes. Yeah, so thanks for clearing that one up for us. Ian Fife is Ian Fife.
Anyway. So they didn't have the Isaka there for
you? No. So I'm sorry, Isaka. We don't know because the A-League didn't tell us.
The FFA let us down.
Yep.
What's going on, boys?
Up front, also, we have Robbie Fowler on the score sheet.
He got his first
goal for the Glory.
Yes. It wasn't just the goal. He played pretty well. You know, he put the cross in for the own goal.
Yep.
Most of Perth's attacking play went through him.
He's
put down as a striker, but he's playing attacking midfielder. He's just controlling everything.
And if he follows Dwight York's lead, he'll soon be playing defensive midfield.
Yes.
And have a cracking goal eventually, just before you retire, just so you can say you did. Mm-hmm. And Costa Barbarousis wraps up the lineup
with a tidy finish.
A tidy finish. He's looking a decent player.
Yeah, no, he is. Yep. He showed in pre-season that he can score goals and he's got a nice touch. It's just unfortunate that he missed the goal against Sydney. So everyone's like, who's this joker?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. A bit of pressure. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Betfair, mm-hmm. who support the show. Competition's still running, as you know by now. You go to our site, you click on the Betfair logo, you open up an account, and they'll give you a $50 free bet.
Yeah, well, it's not a competition, because it just happens. Yeah, you don't have to win anything, you have a free...
Not a competition.
No, yeah, you have a $50 free bet. It's right there.
Oh, yeah, well, I meant not a competition in a sense that it's not going to run out soon.
It's going to run out eventually.
So you better jump on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Only for Football Sack listeners and viewers. So get on to it.
Yeah. And viewers?
Football Sack TV. Why not?
Yeah. We have a YouTube channel. We do have a YouTube channel. Check it out. YouTube.com/TheFootballSack.
Amazing stuff.
If you want to contact the show, info@TheFootballSack.com. Twitter us @TheFootballSack or visit our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as well. We'll be back on Thursday with a preview show for the round ahead.
Shall be awesome.
That's been Christian Leyland.
Goodbye, everybody.
I've been Jack Quigley. We will see you guys soon.